Welcome, friends, neighbors, countrymen. Gather around the internet, for the infotainment podcast is about to begin. Hi, my name is Randy. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. Well, let's stop, drop, and roll right into the program. Well, first up on the podcast docket today, as I had a Seinfeld moment the other day, a Dear Diary moment. It wasn't like the episode of Seinfeld where he forgot. No, he didn't forget, but he didn't know his girlfriend's first name. And she said her name was close to the name of a female body part, and the best he could come up with was Mulva. But this happened outside a gas station. Some woman comes up to me and starts talking to me like she had known me all my life and what you up to now. And so I just gave general answers. That's because I could not place who she was at all. Luckily, I did not get embarrassed by her saying that, you don't know me at all, do you? You don't remember me? But I got out of that situation okay. But I hate that when that happens. And this is episode 99, by the way. I know the last one I got the episode wrong. And we are quickly coming up on episode 100, which we'll have to do something special for that. I don't think it'll be a clip show because I would have to sort through a ton of stuff. And a lot of it was before my audio became as good as it has, but those were some funny clips going way back to like episode number 3. But it should be a good show. And right now, I'm going to talk about a billboard. I saw a picture of it on my Instagram. And it is for the restaurant chain Hardee's. Maybe you have them in your area. And they do have the they feature their thing called the Thick Burgers, which I thought were pretty good, but our Hardee's closed up. And maybe this was for some of the same reasons. maybe they had more mistakes than this, but this one is pretty bad. The part of the billboard has a partial picture of a burger, and the rest of the billboard says 100% anus beef. And then they got Hardee's under that and Thick Burgers. Think thick tonight. Get your 100% anus beef.
Bill. Bill.
All right. And now I'm going to talk about, me and CJ on the last program talked about dress codes for church and different things. But I do have something that came over, 55 of the most insane pictures at Walmart. Speaking of dress codes, most of these really failed. But in our first picture, this man thought he was wearing a cool t-shirt. And he has a very bald head. And the back of his t-shirt, and there is a drawing of a pair of testicles. It only works with the bald head. And Okay, if you come up behind him, if you bump him or something with a card, excuse me, Mr. Dickhead. And they say this T-shirt only works with certain hairstyles, and I agree there. And should we say with no hairstyle at all? In other words, in order to complete this full look, you must have a clean-shaven bald head. For some people, going bald can be a hard decision. However, not everyone has a choice, as over 2 out of 3 American men start to experience significant hair loss by the age of 35. Luckily, I was the third person out of that. I have a full head of hair, and I feel good about that. Although this is a hard pill to swallow for many, having a good sense of humor like this gentleman can make the situation much more pleasant. Kind of reminds me that picture the other day. I was talking with the person that deals with some of the medications I take, and she had forgotten a blue pill that I was supposed to take, and she was going to give it to me later. And once she was going to get it, I asked her, "Is this the fun blue pill or the regular blue pill?" She knew what I meant and properly scolded me. And I said, well, I'd have to stay home like 4 hours. if you go 4 hours, you should probably call a doctor. That's what their deal is. Next up, in the inappropriate dress at Walmart, we have a guy dressed up as Shrek. And with in full regalia, a crown on his head, and a totally green head, and the stomach to match. I don't know if this was Halloween or what the deal was, but nobody around him seems to be dressed up in any type costume. But maybe he was a Walmart greeter now. I don't know. In the movie, Shrek starts out as a mean and angry ogre who doesn't leave his swamp. It looks like this real-life Shrek had to leave his swamp because it started becoming difficult to find food. Now he can be seen at the grocery store buying groceries, just like everyone else. Luckily, it also seems like this is a much nicer version of Shrek. He has a wide smile, and the kids who pass by probably love him too. Either that or they start screaming. And the next one, a guy looks like he's wearing shorts, but he's not totally covering his backside, and he is wearing a colorful thong. And I will do this for this picture.
Bill.
I could do that 10 more times on this one. But maybe this guy was having a Bruce Jenner revelation or something. I don't know. When going to Walmart, you don't expect anyone to be making a fashion statement. Most people show up in a T-shirt and jeans or sweatpants and a sweatshirt. However, this man decided to wear aquatic shorts. Oh, that's what they call those. They're blue. I didn't know they were aquatic shorts. Along with a white long T-shirt. the aquatic shorts in the middle of Walmart is not what made the outfit strange. He was also wearing a multicolored thong that was visible to everyone in the store. While we do come to Walmart to look at clothes, we do not expect to see someone's underwear on full display. Well, it's not full display, but it's displayed enough. Someone needs to tell this man to wear briefs. And let's see, next up, it's Stay Back. There's a guy who has the hairstyle looking like Dog the Bounty Hunter a little bit. And he has a caution sign strapped to his ass, says, caution, stay back 5 feet. Maybe he adds a whole load of beans or cauliflower or something earlier. And they go, this man probably has an upset stomach and he is doing his due diligence by letting the people around him know that they should keep it a distance. But is 5 feet enough or is it overkill? It turns out that human farts travel an average of 10 feet, which is double the amount this man has cautioned against. Even though his number is significantly off, him carrying a sign around is extremely courteous. But the fact that he actually carries a sign around probably keeps people even further away than 5 feet. Yes, I probably would stay back further from this guy who might be crop dusting the aisles at Walmart. Next up, we do have a man. It's called Daddy Long Legs. And this man appears to be, I would say, late 50s, early 60s. And he's wearing the booty shorts with perfectly shaved legs. And this is definitely this man is going through a Bruce Jenner revelation. Competitive swimmers make sure to keep their legs clean shaven during competition season. Unfortunately, it seems like the gentleman in this photo is past his prime, but he has decided to carry on the tradition. It also appears that he's added his own wrinkle to the tradition, denim booty shorts. Now, that's something you wouldn't expect to see on a middle-aged man, but we're not here to judge. This is simply a man who's looking for a lawn sprayer to keep his yard tidy as his legs. And he's also got the mandals on. Yeah, he's probably, I guess we call him or her Caitlyn Jenner. But I think that's a sign of a gender transition there. Yeah, so we will go on to the next one. This one says, my girlfriend's shirt. One man is wearing a winter type hat you might see in Russia, and with the pink t-shirt says, don't laugh, it's your girlfriend's shirt. And the next guy has stuffed his wife beater tee with the, looks like he has very full breasts, and he's got braided hair and a beard with Daisy Duke denim shorts and like pink socks and cowboy boots. Let's be honest, even if that were my girlfriend's shirt, I would still laugh. But if that is my girlfriend on the right, I'd be grateful that someone was able to save me from a relationship with her or him. Not that the person on the right isn't a catch. He seems to have a really strong build. If we ever were to run into trouble, he could probably fend for the both of us. However, I prefer my girlfriends. Don't grow beards larger than mine.
L.
Well, at this time, I do have more of those Walmart dress code fails, descriptions of those. But now I'm going to talk to you about a show I went to recently. It was called Popovich Pet Comedy Theater and involved rescued animals, dogs, cats, birds, rats, even rats, and a small miniature horse. One of the things was the miniature horse came running through with a dog on its back and then a cat on top of the dog. They're a Vegas act and been on Leno and Letterman and a few others, so it's been around a while. And it was very, very entertaining. At one point, they had a small dog in a small grocery cart, and a cat was pushing it across the stage. But near the end of the program, they had two baby Siamese elephants come out, which I thought was really unique. They came bounding out, and they were joined at the end of their trunks. So they couldn't make the traditional, I can't do the typical elephant noise, but all they could do is a stoink. But when they came out there, they kind of positioned themselves. They lowered their heads. And a couple monkeys came out, both named Marcel, capuchin monkeys. And these monkeys started doing a little dance on the conjoined elephant trunk. And then they started, the elephant, baby elephants started swinging the trunk upward and down, and they started skipping elephant trunk rope. It was the most hilarious thing, but kind of a sad story. Operation would be very difficult to disconnect the elephants there. But the mother of the baby elephants was a circus performer that had a dwarf as a trainer. Rumor has it that the dwarf and the elephant were lovers. But one day the mother went into a rage and thought the dwarf was cheating on her and sat on him and squished him. And the elephant had to be shot. But before that, she was dressed up in a pink tutu going around. But that's my, at the end of the show, they had stools set up for 14 house cats. And they had 14 house cats sitting on stools. And they had also had a DVD for sale, How to Train Your House Cat. And with all the cat memes out there on the internet and Facebook and whatever, it might be a good thing to get. One thing he said was not to get the cat to do anything it didn't want to do. You just work around what they were good at to develop a trick with them. But those elephants were really unique. I couldn't do it as good as I needed somebody to play off on that story, but that was my homage to the great Tim Conway, who did a skit on the Carol Burnett Show. For those of you who remember, supposedly he is in poor health, and that's unfortunate. But that was one of the funniest skits I've ever seen. It's on YouTube if you want to look it up. Tim Conway's Elephant Story. But before the show was over, the elephants did come out one more time, the Siamese elephants. And there were a couple ladies riding them. They had beards. And they were rather large women. I think with the elephants, they might have exceeded the low limit of the stage, and you could see it sag a little bit. And unfortunately, one of the elephants did sneeze, and the other elephant's eyes got super huge, kind of like Homer Simpson. But with all that, the elephants kind of stretched way out far apart, and one of the bearded ladies did a tightrope walking thing there. Kind of, they were stretched out, kind of like when you stretched out one of those Stretch Armstrong toys of years ago. And once the bearded lady jumped off, the elephants kind of snapped back like a Stretch Armstrong. And and there was a lot of snark from the elephants. They couldn't do the regular noise. So, but they were cute. I had to walk home from that, and I did see a trailer behind the building where all the animals were kept, and you could hear the dogs barking and all that, and they were wanting a new contract, but I don't know if they got it or not. So that is my elephant story for the podcast. Since I don't have any elephant sounds, since they had a lot of cats in the show, I thought I'd play that again. But hopefully you enjoyed the elephant story. Now it is time to move on to something completely different. In Toronto, Canada, we have some hackneyed version of the Joker, Batman's foe, that is terrorizing restaurants. The hero Toronto needs right now is somebody who can finally take down this hacky facsimile of the Joker. The first time the Joker showed up in an on-camera version of Batman, he was played by Cesar Romero, who smeared white grease paint over his mustache for 22 episodes of the late 60s TV show. 20-ish years later, Jack Nicholson did his own version of the character, which was basically Jack Nicholson with green hair and a choreographer. And then there was Heath Ledger. And that was the difference between wacky and deranged. And he will be missed because he did the Joker great. And now there is this guy who seems less interested in darkly comic anarchy than he is with just being an asshole, according to blog TO. A man in full Joker face was caught on camera stealing the tip jar from a Toronto restaurant. Summer is approaching and the thieves are back. I was waiting for Batman to save the day, but he didn't show up. Waffles and More wrote in a Facebook post about the incident, if anyone has a good tip on how to secure the tip jar, feel free to share. Well, I would get rid of the tip jar and just give the waitress herself for tip. maybe put some money in a piranha-infested dish or whatever. But in the video, the man comes into the restaurant and appears to talk to the woman behind the counter. When she turns her back and walks away from him, maybe she's starting to make whatever he just ordered. He grabs the tip jar, slips it under his jacket, and walks out the door. A tip jar? That ain't exactly Gotham National Bank, Chief. This painted-faced person hits up many places along Bloor West, area of Toronto, I'm assuming. One commenter wrote, he will attempt to enter the staff-only areas and take whatever possible. He also does drugs in restaurant washrooms. Heads up, Waffles and More responded that he already had to throw the man out of the restaurant's toilet, but not before he left me a nice present to deal with. And he illustrated that present with the poop emoji. Christopher Stevens, the owner of Waffles and More, confirmed that he would have thrown the man out if he'd seen him walk into the place, and he also said that he's going to affix the tip jar to the countertop. Weirdly, this restaurant just serves sweet and savory Belgian waffles, has become quite a target for dickheads. Last year, its front window was smashed in a robbery that netted just $50. A woman was caught on the street after she also ran out with the tip jar, and another man was caught on camera as he walked in, opened the cash register, and calmly helped himself to $150 in cash. Last week, another shit customer paid for his or her waffle with a counterfeit $100 bill. In the dark night, Gotham City Police Lieutenant James Gordon speaks that forever quotable line describing Batman as the hero Gotham deserves, but not the one it needs right now. The hero Toronto needs right now is somebody who can finally take down this hacky facsimile of the Joker, or like maybe just whoever calls the police if they see him near another tip jar. Yeah, that's pretty low, just stealing the tip jar. Probably costs him more in makeup and get up than he nets on these robberies. See, I would just take that tip jar and just have the people give the tips to the manager or whatever, so he wouldn't have anything to steal. And I don't know. Very weird. I do have another story. This is out of Texas. A pizza restaurant is closed after it is reported that employees put laxative on at least one pizza. Well, luckily, social media was helpful in catching this. Sounds like one crappy meal a pizza restaurant in Springtown, Texas, had to close this weekend after it was discovered that employees had put laxatives on at least one pie. On Friday night, the Springtown Police Department got a call about possible food tampering at a Mr. Jim's pizza location. Luckily, we don't have a Mr. Jim's pizza location here. And kind of ironic, I just had a large pizza at the new Domino's here in town. It was very tasty. And let's see what they did. Apparently, one of the employees posted on social media that they were putting Miralax, a brand of laxatives, on pizzas, according to Dallas Fox affiliate KDFW-TV. Authorities said three employees admitted putting the laxative on at least one pizza that ended up being eaten unknowingly by a coworker, according to NBC affiliate KXAS-TV. The employee who ate the prank pizza got sick, but the people who made the pizza denied putting laxatives on any pizzas purchased by the public. The city's health inspector pulled the business health permit and shut down the restaurant until an inspection scheduled for Monday, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. As on Monday afternoon, it remained unopened. Police have not said whether any criminal charges will be filed. I would think so. That could make somebody really ill beyond just spending a day or two on the toilet. Mr. Jim's Pizza sent a statement to HuffPost saying that the employees who were involved in this prank have been terminated. Yes, I would think so. That's terrible. Can you imagine that? Ugh. Not good. Since we have been talking about animals this episode, I have one more thing about the Siamese elephants. Well, not really, but you're thinking, when is this asshole going to get off the topic of elephants? But on Facebook, you know, there's how many billions of cat videos? But I do have this kind of disturbing and, well, sick story of, I know there are cat people. I'm kind of a cat person myself because a lot of guys don't like cats, but I do because that was the first real pet I remember as a child. We had a dog, but I think I was too young to be around it too much because it was a bigger dog and didn't see it all that much. But, you know, there are cat ladies, and now this is a person who kind of went a little bit overboard on the number of cats she had in a two-bedroom apartment. Guess how many cats she had in this apartment. Was it 50? No. 100? No. 150? No. 200 cats? No, not even that. But she had 300 cats living in a two-bedroom apartment. When neighbors started complaining about the conditions of an apartment in a high-rise building in Toronto, Toronto Animal Services was contacted to help look into it. They quickly realized the situation was far too much for them to handle on their own and called on a bunch of rescues to help them out. When Toronto Cat Rescue got the call to help, they quickly agreed, but were definitely not prepared for what they found when they arrived at the apartment on a Saturday. Inside the small two-bedroom apartment were the 300 cats. And there is a picture of them, and there is just like cats everywhere. There was like not an inch to move. You'd be stepping on a cat. It's crazy to try and imagine how 300 cats could fit inside a two-bedroom apartment. And it was even crazier for the rescuers to witness in person. The conditions inside the apartment were unlike any other they had seen before. And everyone was baffled at how the situation had gotten to that point. I mean, I did it, but I didn't even like changing the litter box for one cat. And this cat had a tendency to cough up hairballs from time to time, too. But I could tell when she was going to do that. I'd chase her around trying to get her outside, and she knew I wasn't going to hurt her, but she would not let me catch her when she was going to hack up a hairball. But it was a very difficult place to spend any time. Well, yeah, I can imagine the stench I wouldn't go in there without some breathing apparatus. Belinda Vandersloos, executive director of Toronto Cat Rescue, told the Dodo, the smell was overwhelming, and it was just as an overwhelming place to be. Besides the fact that there were 300 cats there with such little space, there were cats absolutely in every corner of the apartment, strewn about the living room and piled together in the bathtub. Any place a cat could find to occupy, they would. And it was painfully clear that each and every cat needed to be rescued from that apartment as soon as possible. One by one, the cats were removed from the apartment, and just thinking for myself, think of the ones that have the feline leukemia. That's pretty sad. In a few different waves, they were removed. Toronto Cat Rescue helped remove 187 cats from the apartment and took in 80 to their rescue. The remaining 100 or so cats were removed within the next few days, and all 300 cats are now safely in the care of rescues and fosters, getting the love and attention that's impossible to get when you're one of 300. So far, they haven't said if anybody attempted to live there. I can't imagine anybody would be there, but the cats are in surprisingly good shape, both mentally, medically, and behaviorally. Vandersloos said they were quite calm. I like this woman has a Dutch heritage. There wasn't mass panic of cats running everywhere. There were just a lot of cats, and they were surprisingly friendly. The 80 cats taken in by Toronto Cat Rescue are now happily in foster homes and doing wonderfully considering where they came from. Some of the cats are a bit underweight and some are shy, but for the most part, they're shockingly healthy. A bit underweight? I mean, how much food did they have around there for 300 cats? well-adjusted group. Some of the cats taken in were pregnant and due to give birth any day, and even they are thriving in their loving foster homes. For such a crazy situation, the cats are all doing well, and the rescue can't wait until they're ready to go off and find their forever homes. They're playing, eating, they don't have fleas or worms, and they don't have medical or dental issues, Vandersloos said. Once the cats are spayed, neutered, and vaccinated, and seem healthy and well-adjusted, they'll be put up for adoption and can finally know what it feels like to have a loving, attentive family. If you'd like to help other cats in need, you can donate to Toronto Cat Rescue. And that's the end of that. They do not say who possibly the renter of this apartment is, but obviously they let it get out of control in a massive way. But somebody must have been bringing some food in for them. A lot of food. Oh, jeez. Man, the smell just, were there any litter boxes? They don't mention that. Oh, man. You'd think that, at apartments they have inspections once in a while to make sure you're not a hoarder and have a garbage apartment, you know, knocking holes in walls and keeping everything. Looking at the picture, there were just cats everywhere. You can't really tell. I don't see like stacks of newspaper and other garbage. So, jeez, I can imagine the neighbors complaining with the smell of 300 cats and next door. I doubt that Popovich, the cat trainer, and his pet comedy theater show would agree with this person for doing this. Right now, I'm going to end this show in a very different way than you're used to, for those of you that listen. Sometimes life throws you some sucker punches and that just make you feel really horrible. On this day, today, a very talented man, Tim Conway, passed away. It's ironic that it happened when I borrowed some of his elephant sketch with my own little twists on it. You gotta recognize talent when you see it. I wish I had the talent that he had in his little pinky. I'd be doing a lot better than this show does. Just a sad thing. He was 85 years old. And Mother's Day was just a little ways back. And, I'm not able to say happy Mother's Day to my mother or father, or happy Father's Day either. But you gotta believe there's something better after this life. I was a fan of talented game show hosts too. I watched Match Game Family Feud when Richard Dawson was the host. And on his last show, he gave a very eloquent speech about how that people would give him grief about giving women on his show a little peck on the cheek, or peck on the lips. And he explained that he did it out of love and luck for them, because early on in his life, and during the D-Day operation, he had not seen people of color before in England. And he asked his mother if there was a problem. She said, well, God help make you. And who do you think puts a rainbow in the sky? And Richard goes, God. His mother goes, well, I would not question somebody who could make people of all different colors and creeds. And he explained that anybody who can play Family Feud was welcome on that show. People in wheelchairs, blind people, deaf people. It was just a touching ending to a 9-year run of that show. Family Feud, the best host of it, in my opinion. This is kind of tough for me to get out. And now one of my best friends in town may have to go through some back surgery, which is bothering me also. But when you think about it, I don't know how to put it into words. With so much hate and violence in the world, shootings, bombings, and all this, that it's time to recognize the talented people like Tim Conway and Richard Dawson and all the talented people who try to make the world a better place. And my interpretation of the elephant story was not to rip it off. I did it in honor of him because I enjoyed his stint with the Carol Burnett Show. Richard Dawson, and at the end he said, God bless all the little children of the world. But I will amend that a little bit, and I will say, God bless all the children and adults who have talents and try to make this world a better place. And with that, I will end this podcast.